A good morning to all of you today. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for those of you who are joining us online. My name is Stuart Mizell. I'm the lead pastor here. And if you've been here before and you're thinking, wait, that's not the same guy, yeah, I have new accessories. And just in case, it's one of those, you know, Clark Kent Superman things. See, look, it's me. Now you guys are really fuzzy there. All right. There, you look pretty. Okay, we are going to continue our series on Let's Get Spiritual. And as we've said in the past couple of sermons, when we're talking about spiritual here, we're not talking about some otherworldly, some kind of mysterious thing that is just not this earth, per se. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is working and active and in us as believers to produce what He wants, what God wants for us. And we rely on Him and trust in Him for what He's going to do to make us more like Jesus. Today, we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. And this is what God's Word says. Again, this is Paul writing to the church in Galatia. But the Holy Spirit led him along to write these words, not only for them, but for us today. And here is what the Spirit is saying to the church, even today. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that sanctifies us, that makes us more and more set apart for you, that makes us more and more like Christ. But it's not just the hearing of your truth that transforms us. You working in and through the truth by the Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out. And so today, Holy Spirit, will you give us ears to hear what you have to say? And not just those ears, but hearts that will receive, soft hearts like good soil that you can plant those seeds and we will see fruit abound in our lives. For your glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our one true God, and for our good, and even for the good of our neighbors around us. Amen. So I'd like for you to imagine a scenario with me. Imagine you've been having these weird headaches recently. So you go to a doctor. And the doctor runs a lot of tests, and then the results come in. You have a brain tumor. And that's devastating news. You're going to need brain surgery. And even though this is this brain surgery that you're going to have, it is a complicated, intricate surgery. The doctor assures you that something can be done. It is worth going into surgery for it. And so you look at the doctor who's told you this news, and you say, okay, I'm going to need some surgical gloves and a scalpel or two and a few mirrors so I can see my head. I've got this. Right? Now, how many of you would actually do that? Right? You realize it's not your job to perform brain surgery on yourself. That's just silliness. No, you need someone from outside of you to perform that surgery. It's the work of someone else that does that, not you. Recently, in preparing for this message, I ran across an article called 20 Ideas on How to Develop the Fruit of the Spirit. And as I read through the article, I mean, I recognize there's some good things that were said there, but the premise behind the article was wrong. Because the premise of the article was basically this: the fruit of the Spirit is something I do. I work. I produce this fruit. Oh yeah, the Holy Spirit is there kind of helping me along, but it's the fruit that I produce, and the Holy Spirit is just sort of there like cheering me on, or maybe, you know, helping me up when I fall down, but that's it. That's like trying to perform brain surgery on yourself. Trying to produce heart change in yourself, by yourself, is just as silly as getting some mirrors and some scalpels and performing brain surgery on yourself. Because, as we'll see in this passage, the fruit of the Spirit is the work of the Spirit. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit is the work of the Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Take a look at what he says in verse 16. Now, he's been talking about the struggles that the Galatians have. And then in verse 16, he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So there's this contrast that he's making. The flesh and the Spirit. The Spirit, of course, being the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit, the one who makes us holy. Right? And the flesh is human nature that has been tainted by sin. So when you're reading in this passage the word flesh, it's human nature that's been tainted by sin. Now, verse 17, he says, "For the desires of the flesh," human nature, tainted by sin, our desires, "are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Holy Spirit are against the flesh," that human nature that is tainted by sin. "These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." And then he continues the contrast, verse 19, which we'll get to a little bit more in depth in a minute, but verse 19 he says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." And then in verse 22 and 23 he says, "But the fruit," see the contrast? "The works of the flesh are evident, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Here's the contrast that he's making. Pick this up. He's saying the works of the flesh, those are the things that we do when we are acting out of our own human nature that has been tainted by sin. When we work by ourselves, these are the kinds of things we produce. And we'll get to that in just a minute. It's not a pretty picture. But the fruit of the Spirit That's what the Holy Spirit produces in us. See the contrast? A couple of things to note that I just can't let this go by. One of the things that I think is important is that when Paul talks about the works of the flesh, that word is plural. We have a lot of different kinds of things we do when we work from our sinful flesh. The word fruit in verse 22, however, is singular. Now, some people say, well, you know, the word fruit can be singular, and it can mean a lot of different things. And that's true, and it is possible. But I also think that Paul's making a distinction, because remember, there's a contrast here. I think what he's saying is, when you work, there are manifold ways of which the flesh starts to give out. You're not going to do every one of these things, but you will do at least some of them. But when the Holy Spirit is producing fruit in you, it will look like this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the fruit, not the fruits, the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work in the believer. If you think about going into an orchard, you know, most orchards that I know of, they're all kind of one kind of tree. But imagine walking into an orchard and you see a banana tree and an apple tree and a peach tree and a pear tree and a grapefruit tree and a pineapple tree and a fig tree. And you see all these different kinds of trees. Oh, I forgot cherry tree and orange tree. I don't know why I forgot those two. But yeah, all these different kinds of trees, right? But that's not what the fruit of the Spirit is like. It's not like walking into an orchard and you see lots of different trees with lots of different fruit. It's like, and we don't have this experience in this life, do we? We go to a tree that has one type of fruit, but when you pick that fruit and you taste of it, you taste all nine of those fruits that I just mentioned in that one fruit. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is like. The fruit of the Spirit isn't separate. The fruit of the Spirit comes together as one. And I say this because sometimes Christians, well-meaning Christians, will say, well, what part of the fruit of the Spirit are you not growing in? And people will say, oh, well, you know, I'm pretty good at love, and I'm pretty good at, you know, faithfulness, and I'm pretty good at self-control, but I'm not so good at joy or peace or whatever it might be. And to a certain extent, I can understand why someone might do that. But I would argue, and we'll get to this in just a few minutes too, I would argue that if you're missing one of the fruit of the Spirit, you may be missing all of them in some fashion or form. Hold that thought. We'll get back to it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in The Cost of Discipleship, sums up some of the stuff that I've been saying here. He says, there are many works of the flesh, but only one fruit of the Spirit. Works are done by human hands. Fruit thrusts upward and grows. Works are dead. Fruit is alive and bears the seed that will bring forth more fruit. Works can subsist on their own. Fruit cannot exist apart from the tree. Fruit, I love this, fruit is always the miraculous, the created. It is never the result of willing, but always of growth. The fruit of the Spirit is a gift of God, and only He can produce it. There is no room for boasting here, but only for an ever intimate union with Him. the idea here, of course, is fruit of the Spirit comes only through the Holy Spirit. You can't produce it on your own. You can't manufacture it. Because you see, apart from the Spirit, what we produce is bad fruit. Okay? Apart from the Spirit, we produce bad fruit. Again, let's take a look at this passage, and we're going to walk through some of this. Verse 16, I say, Paul's saying, here's what you need to do. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So the thing that we do is to walk by the Spirit. What does that mean? We'll talk about it in a few minutes. But basically, walking by the Spirit means taking one step at a time with the Spirit. Just one step at a time. Verse 17, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want. And then verse 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Evident. This is how people who rely on their own human nature will end up one way or another. Not every single thing on this list will be something that you will do, but you will do something in this list. The kinds of things that are on this list. So let's take a look at them. What are the works of my flesh? When I'm working hard out of my flesh, this is what I will produce. Sexual immorality. Impurity and sensuality. Idolatry. We'll make something other than God, God, in our lives. Sorcery. When we don't rely on God and we find out that I myself don't have the power to make things happen, we start to rely on the magical, sorcery, witchcraft, things like that. Enmity. Now, that's a big word that we don't usually use in our culture today, but it basically means there's a problem between me and you. There's something in between us. I don't like you, you don't like me. There's enmity. We're enemies. Strife. When I'm working in my flesh, that's what I produce. Strife. Jealousy. Fits of anger. By the way, that's the one that got to me years ago when my kids told me, Dad, you're scary when you're angry. And I thought, I don't want my kids to be so afraid of me, their father, their dad. Why would I want them to be afraid of me? Respect, yes. Fear, no. And that started a whole journey on, okay, what does it look like to be slow to anger? And did I produce that on my own? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And every time I think, I've got this under control, somebody in the household does something that just gets under my skin, and then it starts to come out, and I go, oh, Holy Spirit, please help me. Rivalries, dissensions, divisions. We love to divide up, don't we? Us versus them. We do that politically. We do that religiously. We do that in all kinds of ways. We even do that in this church. You know, there are the people who are, you know, they like these things. And then there are those who like those things. And we like to say it that way, those things. You know what I'm talking about. Dissensions and divisions. Envy. drunkenness and orgies. I mean, and then he goes on to say, and things like these. Hey, look, if I haven't hit something in there that really says, oh yeah, I'm there, I've done that, I've been there. Things like these kind of covers a wide gamut that I'm sure all of us fall under that net. And then he says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That phrase bothered me for a long time. Not because I think, well, yeah, you know, people who do these kinds of things, do they deserve to be, you know, in God's presence for eternity? Of course not. No, that's not what I mean that bothered me. What bothered me is it almost sounds like he's saying, all right, you got to toe the line, and if you don't toe the line, if you fall in any one of these areas, know that you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's the way I interpreted it. That's the way I understood it for a long, long time, and that's why it bothered me, because I thought, okay, I've got to work hard. It's that works mentality that we slip in through the back door all the time. But now I understand. I really believe that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, was saying, look, I want to warn you. People who live this way, that's not the way of the Spirit. That's not the way of Jesus. Do you really want to live the way people who don't have the Spirit and who don't have Jesus live? Is that the way you want to live? Because those people don't inherit the kingdom. If you have the Spirit, you do inherit the kingdom. So live the way that you are. If you really believe that Christ has saved you, if you really believe that the Holy Spirit resides in you, don't be like what you were when He brought you out of that. Be who you are. You, if you're a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you producing fruit. Not these ugly, nasty works of the flesh. So don't live like that, because that's not who you are. You hear what I'm saying? And that's a very different way of putting it. It's not me saying, okay, I got to work hard, because if I mess up in any area, I'm out. No, it's saying, no, that's not who you are. People who live that way, they are destined for destruction. That's not you. So don't live like them. Live like the people that you are. Very different way of understanding the passage, I think. This is how people without the Spirit live, not how the people who have the Spirit. Why would we want to live this way if we have the Holy Spirit residing in us? So apart from the Holy Spirit, we produce bad fruit. And where our thoughts naturally go, at least my thoughts go, is, okay, well, what do I need to do to produce this fruit? If I'm not supposed to live that way, what am I supposed to do? If I'm producing bad fruit, there must be something I can do. There must be something I can work on. There must be something I can make happen. There must be something that I can do to change my bad fruit into good fruit. This is why when you go into a bookstore, the philosophy and theology department is like this. Because nobody wants to think about those things. And the self-help section is huge, sometimes taking up a fourth or maybe even a half of the bookstore itself, besides the fiction books. Because we love the idea that we can perform brain surgery on ourselves. We love it. It feeds that fleshy part of us that says, it's all about me. Listen to the words of Jesus. If you won't listen to me, at least listen to Jesus when he says in Luke chapter 6, No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. Lost my place. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Jesus is saying, if you're producing bad fruit, what you need is a change of tree. There's something much more significant than trying to just, you know, change a few things here and there. It's a whole tree transplant. Or in our hearts, in our situation, it's a heart transplant. That's what we need. Not let's add a few things here and there. No, we need to be changed from the inside out. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. So, by ourselves, we produce bad fruit. I've always wanted to do this. All my favorite teachers do this. But I can hear some of you saying, but Stuart, I produce love by myself. I produce joy by myself. I produce peace by myself. I produce whatever it is. People do love without the Holy Spirit, don't they? People do have joy without the Holy Spirit, don't they? And to a certain extent, I hear what you're saying. But I'm going to encourage you to think about it this way. By ourselves, apart from the work of the Spirit, we produce bad fruit. The best we can muster by ourselves is fake fruit. Fake. Counterfeit. I'm going to tell you one of the scariest verses in the entire Bible to me right now is 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, when he's talking about all these different kinds of terrible things that people in the last days will have. And he says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. That's frightening to me. You look on the outside like you're godly, but there's a lack of real power there because the Holy Spirit is not producing that godliness. It's just a veneer. It's just on the outside. It's Phariseeism, right? It's the kind of thing where you're a whitewashed smile, the forced laugh. When I think of fake joy, I think of a journal entry written by the 19th century theologian and philosopher Soren Kierkegaard. In his journal, he writes this: I have just now come from a party where I was its life and soul. Witticism streamed from my lips. Everyone laughed and admired me, but I went away and wanted to shoot myself. Fake joy. Fake peace. We hide behind that mask of, oh, everything is good. Everything's great. When on the inside, we are really in a mess. Fake patience. Ooh. This is where we say, not out loud, obviously, I am so sick and tired of dealing with you. I hate you. I have nothing but disdain for you. But I'll never let you know that. I'll just smile when you're around, and then when you're not around, I'll complain to you. I'll complain about you to my friends. Fake patience. Fake kindness, being nice, is more about having people see you a certain way. But really what you're doing is you're manipulating people to get what you want out of them. Fake goodness. This, like I said earlier, this is being a whitewashed tomb. You'll look good on the outside, but inside there's nothing but deadness. Fake faithfulness. I'm committed to you or to Jesus or to whatever it is, but only because backing out will give me more grief. Fake gentleness. Unfortunately, I have done this and been the recipient of this. You know what fake gentleness looks like? It's that, bless your heart. You've had such a tough time, haven't you? Things are just so bad for you. You hear the condescension that's in that? Fake gentleness, fake self-control. That's when we're full of pride, full of our own will, and the need to be in control. And in some ways, fake self-control is at the heart of trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit by our own efforts. Because we think, I'm in control of me, so I can produce good in my life if I want to. I just need the right formula. I just need the right amount of self-discipline. I just need the right amount of effort and focus. Let me ask you, how has that been going? How much more like Jesus are you because you have put in the effort? Be honest. Because if I'm honest, I feel like I go further away from Jesus every time I try to do it in my own strength. Again, Paul says things like this in other places, Colossians 2, verses 20 through 23. And I think this is a part of the, we need to hear this message over and over and over and over again. I need to hear this over and over and over again. Paul says, if with Christ you have died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to its regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are being used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed, listen, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of a little bit of value. Is that what the passage says? They are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. There's a great story, which I won't go into graphic detail about, but a man named Origen who thought that if he castrated himself, then he wouldn't have a problem with sexual sin. Guess what happened? He didn't have a problem doing sexual sins, but in his mind, he continued to lust. We think that just by imposing certain things on ourselves, we can control the flesh. We can't. Only the Holy Spirit can change a bad tree from a good tree to a good tree. Only the Holy Spirit can take us out of bad fruit or fake fruit and turn us into someone who produces good fruit because He is at work in us. Are we willing to actually say, I give up on trying to produce fruit? Holy Spirit, produce the fruit in me. I'm here. And here's the good news, that ultimately, the fruit of the Spirit is really about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about forming Jesus in us. making us more like Jesus. When we read verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Who does that remind you of? Jesus, the one who loved us so much, he left heaven itself and was willing to suffer and to die for our good. Jesus, the one who, for the joy that was set before him, was willing to endure the cross for our sakes. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who made peace between us and God, and who makes peace between us and other people, and who gives a peace that transcends all understanding. Jesus, the King of Kings, who patiently endures all of our silliness and backward ways, and he doesn't condescend to us in a like, you were. No, it's, I get it. Let me help you. Kindness, Jesus, who cares for us in our weakness. Goodness, Jesus, the one who is truly good, truly sinless. No one in this room could say that we're sinless, but Jesus, he is truly good because he is truly sinless. Faithfulness, the one who is faithful to his Father and to his church, even when we are faithless. Jesus, the one who Scripture says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. What gentleness our Savior has, right? And then self-control. When I was younger, in the church that I grew up in, there was a song that they used to sing. I don't remember. 10,000 Angels, I think, is what it was called. And the chorus said, he could have called 10,000 angels to come down and destroy all of his enemies. But instead, he hung on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Think about the kind of self-control it would take to be crucified and yet say that about those who are crucifying you. That's our Jesus. And that's the kind of fruit that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us, Jesus fruit. Fruit that makes us look like Jesus. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? So your action point for today is simply this: rely on the Spirit. Rely on the Spirit to produce his fruit in you. Stop trying so hard to make it happen and rely on the Spirit. Now, if you're asking, well, what does it look like to rely on the Spirit? Because I don't do that. I've never done that. I don't really know what it means to rely on the Spirit. Does that mean I just sit back and watch Netflix and the Spirit just kind of works? No. No, relying on the Spirit looks like this, and very quickly. Remember, God is at work in you. The only reason that you're able to do any good is because God is at work in you. The God who works in you, you work out what he's working in, and that's why you can produce the fruit of the Spirit, not because of who you are, but because the Holy Spirit is in you working to make that fruit. Okay? The E for rely, employ the resources of Christ. Employ. You have, I've said this numerous times, but it bears repeating, you have everything you need for life and godliness in Christ. Everything. There is not anything that God the Father is holding back from you. So employ those resources. Okay, Holy Spirit, I need all the resources of Christ, because today I'm going to leave here and I'm going to go somewhere where there's someone hard to love, and I need to love. Bring all the resources of Jesus into my life so that I can grow in that area. Employ. So remember, employ, lean. This is the L of rely. Lean on the Spirit as you step out in faith. Again, this is not sit on your couch and wait for it to happen. This is, I believe the Holy Spirit is at work in me. I believe that all the resources of heaven are really mine in Christ by the Spirit. And so I'm going to lean heavily on the Holy Spirit as I walk by the Spirit. Take that step. I step out in faith. I say, okay, you're calling me to do this. Here I go. And then the why is yield. Yield to the Spirit speaking in Scripture. Now, notice the way I phrased this. I didn't say yield to whatever thought comes in your head. How many times have I heard someone say, well, God told me, and I listen to it and I go, ooh, if God said that, then I have been wrong all my life. Because I don't believe God would say something like that to you. But when you're reading the Scriptures, and you see, because I've already used this example, for example, love your neighbor as yourself, and you're thinking about a neighbor that you don't really love that much, that person pops into your head, yield to the Spirit. Okay, I don't really love this person, but Holy Spirit, I know you're calling me to do this. I yield. I want to love this person. Help me. That's what it means to rely on the Spirit. Remember, employ, lean, and yield. Let me tell you one last thing. This is something that actually happened this morning. I was praying about this service. I was praying about you guys, praying about me. And in the middle of my prayer, I'm saying all the right words. Holy Spirit, please fill me. Holy Spirit, please, we'll be at work. All that kind of stuff. And you know what I recognized bubbling up in my own heart? Me. Me, 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 me. Just couldn't get away from me. And I'm saying, I'm so sorry, Father. I'm so sorry, Jesus. I'm so sorry, Holy Spirit. Because here I am. I'm praying that you will show your glory all the while in my heart. I'm hoping that I get a little glory. That I get some pats on the back and people say, oh, you did a great job today, Stuart. You know, and that's nice. But you know what? That's not why I should be doing anything. It's good to encourage one another. It's bad when that's the reason why I'm doing it, is so that I get accolades. That's not fruit of the Spirit. That's works of the flesh. So I need to rely on the Spirit just as much as any of you need to rely on the Holy Spirit. We all need to rely on the Holy Spirit. So let's rely on Him. Let's rely on the Spirit as we seek to grow in Christ-like character. And I want to pray for myself and for you that all of us will grow in relying on the Spirit so we grow to be more like Jesus. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, teach us what it means to rely on you. Cause us to remember. Cause us to employ all the resources of Christ. Cause us to lean on you as we step out in faith. Cause us to yield to you as we read your word and see what you have to say to us. Would you cause us to rely on you and produce love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in each and every one of us for your glory, not for ours. Amen.